Everybody, thank you so much for being here. Many of our prayers have been answered. I can tell that from looking out and seeing many of you here. Folks were sick and are better again. That's wonderful. And we're glad that so many of our blessings have converged this morning to bring us here to be able to worship God at the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Thank you so, so much for your attendance. If you are a guest visiting with us, we really, really appreciate that. We love it, in fact. Please take one of our bulletins. All of our service times are listed on that. Also, ways for you to connect with us on social media are there on the cover of the bulletin. We have a lot of services, and you're invited to them all. We would love to have you here so that we can study the Bible and worship God together. This morning, I want to talk about Joseph, who was a just man. A long time ago, when I was a young person, I was reading that verse out loud, which is something that at the time was a little outside of my comfort zone. And I had a slip of the tongue, and I said, Joseph was just a man. And the preacher, I remember at the time, said, oh, well, you know, Joseph was, he was a person just like us. But Matthew chapter 1, verse 19 says that Joseph was a just man. Not just a man, but a just man. And we're going to see this morning that Joseph actually stands in a league of his own. He was a dikaios, a just person. And we're going to talk about you and me being just before God. The way I added up, there are two ways that we can do this. Two ways to be a just person like Joseph. Number one, treat our fellow humans well. That's what Joseph did. Matthew chapter 1, verse 19 is in a context of our being told that Joseph wanted to be benevolent to his espoused wife, Mary. Joseph was a just man, a dikaios. He was in a league of his own. He was special. He was special because of how he treated other people. And right here, the following words say, he didn't want to make a public example out of Mary. Joseph, in the case that was before him, the evidence that he was weighing at the time, he was Mary's husband. They had a super powerful form of engagement. This engagement, this betrothal, committed Joseph to Mary and Mary to Joseph. Now this was all before the marriage, so enjoying all of the benefits of marriage, you know what I mean. That was something not permissible. And the Bible lets us know exactly what's going on here when it tells us about the birth of Jesus Christ. In verse 18, it was on this wise. Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. You understand the significance of that. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, Joseph didn't know that last part. Joseph knew that Mary was expecting a baby. But Joseph didn't have all the information that we just read. Joseph was unaware of the immaculate, that is, non-sexual nature of this pregnancy. And so, to Joseph's eye, it looked pretty obvious that an indiscretion had taken place. To Joseph's eye, it looked pretty clear that Mary had done something that she should not have done. Now, it wasn't in fact that way. Mary had in fact not stepped out of bounds. Mary's conception was immaculate. Mary was with child of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. We know that. You know, we just read that together from verse 18. Joseph didn't have that info. So Joseph had standing. He had cause. There were some things that Joseph could do in cases like this. Mary's apparent indiscretion, Mary's apparent violation of law would entitle her to being stoned. Joseph could have really, really put his foot down and insisted that Mary face the full brunt of the law. But Joseph didn't want to do that. And Joseph's not wanting to do that had nothing to do with his knowledge that this was of the Holy Ghost. He did not, in fact, know that at the time. Joseph loved Mary, and that love didn't go away in the spite of something that he thought she had done wrong or incorrectly. Joseph was a just man. Even though he felt like this is kind of weird to talk about. Not weird, but it's a mental exercise to talk about, right? Because we know what we know, and what we know is what Joseph did not know at the time. It's all about to be revealed to him, so he's not going to be very long in the waiting. But before this was completely revealed to Joseph, he had a couple of options. He could really insist that Mary face harsh retribution and retaliation for what it appeared she had done wrong. Joseph didn't opt for that option. Joseph, instead, being a just person, still having love for Mary, he did not want to make her a public example. He didn't want her to be stoned or shamed. He was minded instead, verse 19 says, to put her away privately. Now, while he thought on these things, verse number 20 lets us know, while he thought on these things, he received the information that we all know was coming. An angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost," Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 says. So, Mary is vindicated. Mary's innocence is vouched for by this angel of the Lord. And Joseph is very happy in that case to stay married to his espoused wife, Mary. This is great news. This is great news, not just for Joseph, but for us. Notice the next verse, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. "She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." This is all done in fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy. Verse 23 lets us know that a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. His name will be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That is a quotation of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, where Isaiah prophesies of Jesus coming. So Joseph gets this great news that Mary has done nothing wrong. And he's in that way very glad to stay married to her. And in fact, an angel from heaven comes and talks to him about her purity and her innocence. And also informs Joseph of the important role that he will play in the raising of our Savior. Now, Joseph was just and therefore selected by God to play this role in the life of Jesus. We call Joseph Jesus' earthly father. Jesus' father is in fact God in heaven. But Joseph, the man we're reading about here, this just person, he played a major, major role in the formative years of our Savior. And it all begins right here. You see, it all begins with his very fine treatment of his fellow man. Joseph put into practice the golden rule, treat others the way you want them to be treated. Joseph understood a topic of the Bible that comes across so numerously, which is the second-class nature of self. Every time we read our Bibles, we understand that it is telling us that God comes first. Other people, we put them before us. Like, for example, in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, where there Paul lets us know that we ought to bear the infirmities of others and not just be about pleasing ourselves. Paul writes this in the context of how things should be done amongst the family, how Christians should behave to one another. And Paul's admonition, his command, his hope, it's all of that wrapped up in one, is that we're going to not focus so much on what we want that we just kind of run over what other people want. That's not a characteristic of New Testament Christianity. Thinking only about yourself is not a characteristic of New Testament Christianity. Looking at things and thinking, yeah, but what am I going to get out of that? What's it going to do for me? That's not a characteristic of New Testament Christianity. That is, unfortunately, I don't have to tell you this, I'm sure, that is unfortunately the way too many people take a look at things. The worship service, for example, a lot of people focus only on, well, what's that going to do for me? What am I going to get out of that? You know, how is that going to make me happy? That's not the way to look at things. We instead look at how we can encourage and edify and strengthen one another, how we can submit and serve and honor God. And the Bible lets us know that our place is really, truly behind others. All right, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 lets us know that we need to bear one another's burdens. We're put here to be helpers. Jesus, I love what he says on this topic, Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Jesus says, I've not come to be served. The Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve. Now, Jesus had every right to be served. Jesus was the one who made all of this. You know, in the beginning, as God's pre-incarnate word, Jesus is the one who upholds all things by the word of his power. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3 lets us know. So Jesus had every right to be served, every single right to be served. But Jesus came to serve. And ultimately, as he expresses in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, to give his life as a ransom, as a payment price for the sins of people. Going back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, which lets us know that this Jesus would save people from their sins. Jesus is the Savior from our sins. Now, Jesus is not going to save us in our sins. I know a lot of people who, well, just about everybody, I guess I know, wants to go to heaven, or they say they want to go to heaven. You know, there are not a lot of people who say, yeah, that heaven's not the place I want to go. There are some, I suppose. I just don't know that many of them. But everyone's on board to go to heaven. But not everyone is on board and with it when it comes to getting rid of their sins. So Jesus is a Savior from our sins, not in our sins. Joseph is a just person because of how he was willing to treat other people. Joseph is also a just person because of how he treated God. This is the second thing that makes us just in the eyes of God. How we treat our fellow person is one. How we treat God is number two. Joseph obeyed the Lord. You see this right here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 24. Matthew chapter 1, verse 24. Matthew chapter 1, verse 24, if you'd like to follow along. Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took Mary his wife. So this commandment came from God. Joseph happily obeyed this commandment from God. He in doing so, honors the Lord. He makes sure that the Lord's wishes are going to be put first. And I love how verse number 25 lets us know just how committed he was to the integrity of this whole matter. Joseph rejoins himself with his espoused wife Mary, but he knows her not. That's discipline. He knows her not until Jesus is born. so that the immaculate nature of this birth can be defended, so that it would be clear that this child is in fact not Joseph's biologically, but this child comes from the Lord in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Joseph is a just person because of how he honors God's wishes. That's what makes many of us just today. By the way, we take a good, hard, close look at what God tells us to do, and then we do this. Now, we're not perfect. We talk a lot around here about not being perfect. We know that we're not. But we follow the Lord's commands faithfully, right? We follow the Lord's commands faithfully, and that's what makes somebody just. Putting God first is what makes somebody just. That makes us in a special class of individual, because not everyone, you know, is willing to put God's wishes first. We're worshiping the Lord this morning, and it's not lost on me that lots and lots and lots of people aren't doing this. There are tons of people who don't see any reason to assemble and worship like we're doing now. There's a surprising number of people who don't see the need to really be here, not just here like we're all in this room, but I mean being present with what we're doing. There's a growing number of people who think, I can be distracted. I'll halfway listen. I'll talk a bunch. I'll do other things. That's all right, you know. I'm here. I was here when the worship started. I'll be here till it ends, and that's good enough, right? That's honoring God, right? Wrong. Not honoring God. Not just in that rote, mechanical motion. No. No, there's much more involved in honoring God than just showing up. Now, showing up is a big part of it, sure. But once we're here, present before God, well, we have to do something to honor Him. Malachi asked God's people a probative question in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, do you remember it? Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, Malachi asks, "Will a man rob God?" Another translation, which I don't use very often, says, "Will a mere mortal rob God?" Another translation, which I use even more infrequently, says, should a man cheat God? How about that question? Should a man cheat God? Will a man rob God? You know, the people that Malachi was speaking to, they didn't get it, right? Well, what do you mean rob God? What do you mean rob God? In their immature self-absorption, you know, they didn't even track what Malachi was saying. Their response kind of reminds me of our children who, "Oh, mom and dad, you need more money. That's okay, just go to the bank and get more money," right? You know, they don't quite understand really what's behind all of that. Or we need more stuff to eat. Well, we'll just go to the grocery store, right? Not realizing that, you know, there's a lot more involved in that than what they think. Malachi asks the people, "Are you going to rob God?" And their response demonstrates that lack of sophistication, that lack of understanding. Of course we're not going to rob God. We're not going to sneak up into heaven and say, "Hey, God, look over there," and then take something that's His and run away back to our house. We're not going to rob God. That's not what Malachi is talking about. What Malachi is talking about is putting yourself ahead of God. All right, the people that Malachi was speaking to, they had nice clothes, nice houses. If automobiles would have been invented back then, they would have had nice cars. They had a lot of the creature comforts of life. Guess who was but was having to live on the leftovers. Guess who was having to live on the leftovers? God was. The way that they were treating God was the same as stealing from him. By not placing him first, by not taking care of the things that God valued, that God told them to value, that they were taking from God. And that same thing happens over and over and over again today, right? We rob God today by taking away what's really his. God wants us to live a certain way, and we rob God when we don't live a certain way. God has given us bodies and blessings and nice weather and smooth roads and abilities to go to a lot of places. And we do all of that, and then Sunday rolls around and we act like we don't have any responsibilities to the Lord. I imagine many of us stayed up pretty late last night, right? It's a blessing to be able to do that. It's a blessing to be able to have the creature comforts, the things that we enjoy and get entertainment from. And is it God's fault? Are we going to make God pay for any of those decisions that we've made? You know, we stayed up later than we should have stayed up last night, maybe, maybe not. If you can handle it, that's fine too. And then what gets shortchanged, what gets cheated, back to Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, is what we should be giving God, right? We are told frequently to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And those Old Testament sacrifices had one thing in common. They were always the best. They had to be the best. Otherwise, God wouldn't accept them. And we sometimes get the impression that we can give God. Now it's pretty amazing to me that we don't try this with our bosses. But we do this with God pretty routinely. What I never see happening is somebody saying, "You know what? I'm going to go out of town and I'm going to drive home on Monday." I don't ever see anybody saying, "You know, I'm gonna drive home on Monday." You know why they don't do that? You know why they don't do that? Because they have to be at work on Monday, right? And they know they better not pick up the phone and call their boss and say, I won't be there today. You know, I went to this football game. Boy, it was great. And I had to drive home today, so I hope you'll understand." That message doesn't get phoned into a boss. You know who gets that message a lot? Too much? You know who gets that message too much? God. God. That's robbing from God. You know? That's robbing from God. That's taking from God and not giving back. And it's not right. It's not right. People always make sure that they're where they need to be on Monday morning. And Sunday morning, Sunday often gets kind of discarded and treated like it's really not that big of a deal. I'm not saying this because I'm so special. I'm not saying this because you're so special. We're not so special, by the way. But what we're doing right now, this is the most important thing in the whole entire week. It's the most important thing in the whole entire week because this is what God asks us to do as his people. And in heaven, I preached about heaven Sunday night, last Sunday night. In heaven, you know what we're going to do? We're going to be worshiping God. In heaven, we're going to be worshiping God. I can promise you the preaching will be better up in heaven. But in heaven, I want you to know we're going to be worshiping God. And so I've got a message for you. If you don't like worshiping God now, if you have to sleep during it, if you have to talk during it, if you have to just check your phone during it, if you don't like worship now, well, I'm scared for you. I'm a little nervous, because in heaven we're going to be worshiping God. And if that's something that you want to miss to do something else, that's optional, you know. That's a scary thing. That's a scary thing. Joseph was just in how he treated God. He was just in how he treated his fellow man. Let's be like Joseph this week, shall we? Let's treat our fellow man with respect. Boy, we know how badly that needs to be done, don't we? We just flip on the news and we see people who are not treating their fellow man with respect. And we just look around and we see people who are not treating God with honor and respect. Joseph was different from that, and we can be too. This morning here at the Augusta Road Church of Christ, we want you to be a Christian. That is the best way to serve and honor and please God. And great news for you this morning is you can do that today. You can become a member of His church. You can allow Jesus to save you from those sins by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. If you're ready for that this morning, we're ready to help you with that this morning. If you are already a member of the Lord's church, that's fantastic. We love that. God bless you for obeying that plan of salvation. Know this, though, we have to serve the Lord with every single day that He gives us. It's not just okay to have done some good things in the past. We have to keep on serving the Lord and being faithful to Him so that when He comes again, He will recognize us as one of His people. Being a Christian is different from being like the world. And when the Lord comes back again, He's going to be looking for people who are different from the world. Will you be different from the world? Or will you be just like the world? When Jesus comes to find you, will he recognize you as one of His? If not, we invite you to make some changes. And if we can be a part of those changes, we would love to be. If you need to respond to this invitation, please do. While we stand and while we sing, won't you come?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.